you can't diagnose most pain at all. Like, it's, you can diagnose a medical condition, that's different. But a pain experience is this purely subjective thing.
Welcome back to the 80-20 Endurance Podcast. I'm your co-host, Hannah Hunstead, and in this insightful episode, we sit down with the pioneering Ryan Whited, a seasoned trainer and the mastermind behind the revolutionary pain management approach known as training as treatment. From athlete to coach, Whited takes us on a journey that led to the co-authorship of Pain and Performance, his newest book, with Matt Fitzgerald. Today, they unveil a transformative methodology emphasizing simplicity, empowerment, and a departure from traditional medical approaches. Dive deep into Whited's commitment to guiding athletes towards independence and dispelling the misconception that pain must equate to lasting damage. Get ready for an episode packed with wisdom and actionable insights on redefining our relationship with pain in the realm of sports and physical performance. Let's get started.
Ryan Whited, welcome to 80-20 Endurance, the podcast that's 80% pain and 20% performance. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Right on.
As always.
Matt, that was a good one. We'll learn more about pain and performance, I'm sure, in the rest of the episode. But I need to shoehorn in here because usually these guests are people that Matt knows. And then I have to do all this research on them. And while I did still do that, Ryan, we actually met in 2021. And we tried to do this. And you were in a van somewhere doing a climb. And it just... we couldn't make it happen.
It was just, it was difficult. There were some challenges, more challenges than usual.
Yes.
Yeah. I was in Yosemite Valley and it has notoriously bad connection there. So,
yes. Yeah. Well, we circled back finally 2 years later.
2 years later, here we are.
Yeah. I mean, nothing really random or arbitrary about that. Like, if you try to do a podcast with Ryan, chances are he's in a van in the wilderness with really sketchy.
That's, they're good odds. Yeah. I like it that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You're living your best life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Retirement plan. It's van life.
Rewinding, because I did know you first. Okay. So.
Yes.
So let me go ahead and ask my traditional question. Like, Ryan, tell listeners how you and I know each other.
We met, how many years ago again, Matt?
It was October, the original talk? October 2019.
Okay. I remember that now. A few years ago, I started giving a talk called Pain and Performance. And I was giving that talk in October 2019. Matt was attending Rob Carr's Run Camp. And at that talk, afterward, Matt had some poignant questions during, and then afterward, he came up and expressed more enthusiasm than most for my little scientific talks. So, yeah, and that's how we met.
He hit on you, basically.
A little bit.
Asked for your phone number.
Yeah, and then he got it.
Yeah. He's convincing that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's got their own definition of sexy.
Yeah.
I thought Ryan gave a really sexy presentation.
It's a unique definition for sure. So,
what can I say? I'm weird.
Yeah. We jive pretty well in that way. Geeks in the best way. Yeah. Then I guess it wasn't long after that before I think I reached you. You said that I reached back out to you and thought maybe we could get our skills together and put together a book, which we have now done.
You've got the brains, I've got the looks. Let's make lots of money. Right?
Yep.
There's a Depeche Mode song for that, or OMG, or whatever.
Yeah. And honestly, it's been such a great experience. There were so many challenges between here and there.
We haven't actually said what we put our skills together to create.
Yeah.
I assume that'll be in our intro, right, Hannah? So it's kind of taking
I'll take care of that one. I'll make sure that one's front and center. I have a question for Matt, actually. So when you were sitting there in the audience, were you thinking, like,
this should be a book, because I know one of your favorite questions is, do you want to write a book in your lifetime for people? Or, and second one is, do you want to be famous? And those kind of go hand in hand. So were you thinking during his talk, his sexy talk, that this could be a book and this is the guy I want to write it with?
Definitely by the time I left, I can't remember where in there. And so this book, Pain and Performance, that we co-authored together, you know, I was the words guy. That was my skill. And then Ryan had the knowledge and the experience. It's Ryan's book, really. When you see the word I or me in there, that's Ryan referring to himself, except in the, there's like a preface or prologue or something up front that I wrote, where I talk about exactly the experience I had. And it was really this, you know, I had been an often injured endurance athlete who had had my share of experience in like getting hurt, having my training limited, and like going to see different clinicians, having surgery. What I learned over the years was like, these folks aren't helping. And I ultimately, and I don't mean to like be dismissive of the expertise of doctors and physical therapists and whatever, but it's like one time could be an accident, twice coincidence, three times you got a real pattern here. And for me, anytime I ultimately overcame a really prolonged injury, I did it myself. And the cure was always the cause. The cause was doing a lot of sports, and then the cure was doing more sports. Like it was just a clear pattern. And then Ryan, you know, I just couldn't explain it. Like I knew it was true for me. So I pretty much stopped going to see doctors when I was experiencing pain. And then Ryan's Pain and Performance talk just put some scientific heft behind that. And just like, Matt, you're not a freak. You're actually normal. Not again, you know, doctors and physical therapists, they have their use, but you know, running off to them every time you've got a boo-boo as an athlete and expecting them to fix it is not the formula, you know, for staying in the mm-hmm. game. And so it was really mind-blowing for me. I know enough science to, for, you know, it was the combination of having just enough of a scientific background of my own, and then just the experience, the vast experience as an athlete that really resonated with what Ryan was talking about. And it was novel. You know, I pay a lot of attention to this stuff all the time. It's like, I've never heard anyone say that before. And so I'm like, yes, you know, that's an exciting message. It's a new message. Ryan just did an awesome job. He's a great presenter. He says he used to suck at it, but he didn't suck that night. And so, yeah, you know, I was pretty lit up, and, you know, it was a standing room only crowd, but I made sure I got a chance to like get some one-on-one time with Ryan afterward. And yeah, I was pretty determined to try and make that collaboration happen.
Yeah. Usually you hear what dysfunction brought you to this painful situation. You know, there's something dysfunctional about you, and that's what happened. But very often something just hurts. I'm sure you might've overdone it, but there might've been other things that led to this. Even life things that led to, you know, life stressors and things like that, that caused a pain flare up. So we just don't think about that when it comes to a knee that hurts, you know, but that matters. Your sleep matters. All those things matter. So it's just it's a much different take on how to get better and how to like contextualize, give a different context to a pain experience. This whole process has been very good. It's funny because it's been years now that we've been practicing like this, and nothing has changed radically. It's still the people, it's in their hands. We just coach them through these processes. Have you heard anything like this, Hannah? Have you, I'm sure everybody's been through a pain experience, you know?
So it's funny because my dad's a doctor. So you would think that I grew up like worshiping doctors, whatever they say is true, you know, go to the doctor if you have a hangnail, right? But I grew up with this philosophy of more so like if you're active and staying active, your injuries will be less. So like, let's first start there of being an active, mm-hmm. healthy person. And then second, talking about pain, which I want to get into with you, which I find fascinating because everyone has different pain tolerance. So you go to the doctor, they give you that scale 0 to 10. your five is most likely different than my five. And so how do you evaluate that? And that's kind of what we grew up with was, okay, it's painful, but did you break your ankle or is it just hurting a little bit and a growing? Yeah. Is it a growing pain? Right. And then,
death is a zero.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's a quick one. You can't even report that one. Yeah. But it was, you know, questioning and what are you doing until we get to the point of like, okay, this is kind of serious and it's been painful for a while and it's not going away, but all those things. So that's just kind of the philosophy that I grew up with. So it's funny that you chose to write a book about it too, to be honest, but I want to get into like pain tolerance and how you talk about that with your clients and in the book, and because that's different for everyone. So how do you evaluate that? And how do you, I guess, talk about treatment when everyone's pain tolerance is different?
Yeah. Pain. Yeah. And you know, I might even hesitate to use the word tolerance because it definitely has a little stigma to it that just sort of brings hypochondria to the table all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
And really it's not that. It's that we all experience it differently. And I feel like a lot of people that end up in those cases where they get stuck in treatment plans, they feel that way, you know, like they're having this very real experience. But there's very often there's no diagnosis to explain why something hurts so bad, you know? And why it's like suspended their biography, so to speak. So bringing like an ear and just allowing somebody to talk about their experience, a lot of times is just how we start. So, because they don't get that a lot of times. A lot of times people, you know, so if they go to see somebody that's a musculoskeletal specialist, then they're just going to be run through a battery of tests. They're going to check their range of motion, you know, and then all their dysfunctions are going to be described to them. And they're like, oh, sweet. I knew that. I knew I was sick. So it's just going to reinforce this story that they have gotten involved in. So all it does is build on a process. And even when you were describing, you said, okay, this is getting serious. And then when you hear medical professionals say, this is getting serious because this pain has stayed here. And so evidently there is something seriously wrong and we just need to find it. And so you get on this treasure hunt and it's like orienteering over somebody's experience. And if you are just bushwhacking, you know, here and there trying to find, you know, what is the cause of this, then it is going to be a very long process and it might be years before you actually find some help. Those are the folks that we end up working with where, you know, they are just at their end. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So and it kind of breaks my heart.
Yeah. So do you focus more on like you know, you go through that little interview process of like, tell me your story. How did you get to this point? And then your focus is obviously treating that, which I guess you could say like a doctor's focus is too, but it's so solution oriented where like, do you have more of an open mindset of this might take a while or like it might be even painful to get a little bit better? Is that true? Like it's going to hurt a little bit by doing these workouts and then you'll start to feel better? Or talk about a little more about your approach on the solution and the rehab.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't treat the pain. Mm-hmm. We work with the person that is having the pain experience, which is much different. I had a shoulder that was pretty painful for quite a while. And really it had more to do with like all of my life crap that was going on than it did anything in my shoulder. We work with the person and not the pain. So an example that I use of this sometimes is if you had a floater, do you know what a floater is like in your eye? Do you know what that is, Hannah?
Yes.
I don't.
Yeah. So sometimes people get floaters.
Have you been on LSD, Hannah?
Sorry, I didn't know that was a prereq for this recording. That was not in the notes.
I tell you what, let's all go to dinner. We'll come back.
Now that would make an interesting episode.
So a floater is a spot in the eye that you can see sometimes and it'll just kind of float by in your eye. That's what they call
it. Like a blob.
Oh, yeah, sort. But it's a speck. They can be a blob, can be a speck. I'm not an ophthalmologist.
Yeah.
But if you went to see an ophthalmologist, and you said, I have a floater, and they said, I want you to focus on that with all of your effort, that is a recipe for insanity. Because if you ever do have one, it'll float across your eye, and then your eye tends to track it. And if you do concentrate on it, the thing won't go away. But naturally, our nervous system, our brain, just sort of eliminates it from your vision. It stays there. It never goes away. But it goes away from your vision. So if you go to see somebody, you know, about a painful shoulder or a painful something, and they're like, I want to focus on this. I want your whole life to revolve around this. That can very easily turn into a recipe for insanity. Yeah, because you're just like hypervigilant. You're afraid of everything you're doing. You become suspicious of your own body. So a lot of times we won't even, not all the time, everybody's recipe is a little bit different, but we'll just talk about, you know, hey, have you not been climbing? If they're a climber and their shoulder hurts, then you're like, well, let's talk about returning to climbing. And pain is kind of like along for the ride, but it's not front and center. It's employee, not an employer, so to speak.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it just goes to the background. So...
It's just not focus. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just assisting people in, like, the people we work with, they bring all the magic. We don't bring any magic. All we are is like coaches. We coach them through a process, and all the magic comes straight from like their nervous system and their lives, not from anything we do.
What part of your coaching with that person is like emotional and, you know, you talked about when you were really stressed out, you seemed to have more shoulder pain or in that period of your life. Like, what part of your coaching is less PT? Okay, we're going to do, you know, Y's, I's, and T's with our shoulders. And what part of it is, like you said, kind of ignoring and like an emotional side of everything?
Yeah. Yeah. I am. My wife always says, she's like, you're 90% a counselor. And I'm like, yeah, I know that, babe. So,
I feel like that's almost everyone's job these days, too. That kind of, if you're working with people, like,
yeah,
we got a lot of problems. Yeah.
Before I came to the place that I'm at now, I know quite a lot about biomechanics. So it's not like I'm not bringing anything to the table with biomechanical insights. But they're usually way down the list of needs. And honestly, a lot of times I don't want to bring too much attention to it because people are already in their heads kind of about, you know, am I moving right? There's something called kinesiophobia, and it happens with treatment. A lot of times people start becoming afraid of, because they have been told they have all these dysfunctions. So they become afraid of their own movement. So they're afraid of reaching overhead if that is what causes pain, or squatting down, or, you know, those things. So and before you know it, you're not playing with your kids. You're not doing those things, you know, that bring meaning and happiness to your life. So you just end up on an island, basically. I've heard this story so many times. It's kind of amazing. I have a long story that I can make fairly short about this process. Okay. And this lady's experience just was so profound that I thought, this is incredible. This is exactly what we're trying to avoid. So stories like this are what caused me to sort of put my life to the back while I was obsessing. So I worked with a lady about 2 years ago. It was just after COVID, and she came in and she started crying like pretty soon into our session. She'd been referred to us from a doc, and she had foot pain. She was early 60s or so. When she was, I think she said about 17 or so, she was playing soccer, injured her knee. The doc she went to see said girls aren't strong enough to hurt their knees. So that's where her story sort of began. So she's now, you know, early 60s. This all started when she was teens. She ended up not using that leg very much because it hurt so bad. So then she ended up getting a knee replacement. There was another step in there somewhere, but I'm trying to make it short. So she ended up getting a knee replacement. It was ill-fitted. So she had to have another knee replacement. Then she developed osteoporosis. She was out walking with her friends and her hip broke and she just ended up on the ground because she had moved around that leg for so many years that it had become osteoporotic. So she didn't load it. She didn't use it ever because she was afraid of it. So then her foot was hurting and that was why she came to see us. And so she said, and that's why I'm here. I want to know why my foot hurts. And I was like, well, that's a complex question. But this experience, and now she, most of her life had been lived around that experience. And then she couldn't go walk with her friends. So she was totally alone. It was, her story just was tragic. So, yeah. And so that's what I hope to interrupt.
Does that story end happy?
Yeah, I was cliffhanger here.
She just had a really tough time.
Yeah.
That's it.
Buy my book.
And she didn't believe a word I said and she left. No, she spent about a year with us and she did resume hiking with her friends and talking and, you know, basically much of her life had been restored. So,
nice.
Yeah, thankfully we have been a part of those. Yeah, take a big breath.
Thank God.
Yeah, what's amazing though is we work with athletes to get in the same scenario. So she wasn't an athlete, but we work with so many athletes that are like, yeah, I haven't been able to compete in, 3 years. And I'm like, oh, Lord, like for an athlete.
That was me. That was
yeah,
me.
Exactly.
I had three separate multi-year, quote unquote, overuse injuries, pain experiences that kept me, each of which kept me from competing for at least a year. And one of them more than 3 years. Yep.
And we work with those folks. And a lot of times it tends to be like in their prime, the pressure is on. Your sponsors want to know what's happening in your life or what's happening, not in your life. They actually don't care about that. But what's going on with your competitions, why you haven't competed, and those things. And usually you have to renegotiate, your contract. So usually every 2 years or so. So that's always in the back of an elite athlete's head. Yeah, you can, even if they say it's not
stressful at all,
Yeah, totally.
What's your quote unquote like success rate with this sort of treatment in athletes?
It's always hard to give an honest answer to that. I feel like it's pretty strong. We have had a couple people, and you have to define success too, what exactly that means. So if we say, that person's been pain-free for the rest of their lives, then no, that's not anybody that ever leaves here.
Right.
But folks that leave that have a completely different take on what a pain experience is, yes, that happens very often here. So, So, and we conflate injury with pain, and that's one of our biggest mistakes. So,
So, someone comes to you with like a broken ankle. And you're like, oh, let's just go for a walk. Like that's not the kind of athlete that you're working with.
Actually, we do work nowadays. We work with plenty of people that are, post-op and whatever. Obviously, that's not what I'm talking about, though. We're talking about, one of the more typical pain, like tendinopathies, or I should say a painful tendon, an area that's just hurts. So without, and very often doesn't have a mechanical explanation. Weirdly enough, a lot of those really traumatic injuries, like ruptured Achilles, is very often pain-free. Yeah, ACLs too, are usually pain-free. And then, once people realize like, oh, I'm hurt, then it becomes painful. It's funny, we reconcile the story all the time in our heads. Like we've all had those bruises. You're just randomly like, I don't know where I even hit that, but you just have, and then you're just kind of good with it. We're all just like, oh, evidently I did a good amount of tissue damage here because I've bled underneath my skin, but I don't remember doing that, but then if you have a hip that hurts, that you never did anything to, then you're like, oh, something's wrong in there.
That's so true.
So you just can't, like, we can't put that story together. We struggle so much to put that story together. But when you have somebody put it in front of your face and show it to you, you're like, oh, damn, that is accurate 100%. So then what happens is you go and you're like, I need images because it still hurts. So I think the damage might be getting worse, actually. So then you go get images, and it's the dangest thing. Almost everybody has something in their hip or knee or something that is going to be seen. Mm-hmm. So, but that does not mean that that is what is causing your pain.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, you're so right. People get bruised and all the time, and or like smaller, quote unquote, injuries or whatever you want to call them. And, oh, I don't know where I got that. And it's gone in a few days. Mm-hmm. But if something's lingering, it's like, oh, this is a big issue. Mm-hmm. I need to find the answer ASAP.
That's a really good point. Yeah. It's built into our culture that the causal relationship between pain and damage are directly correlated. So, and that is just not how it works at all.
Mm-hmm. So.
I understand that Ryan has a book.
30 minutes in.
Yeah. Tell us about, you know, the substance of this book. So you have a gym in Flagstaff, and you and I are both in Flagstaff. So you have one-on-one clients, some, you know, athletes, some non-athletes, and you've got this training as treatment. You got to name it, you know, training as treatment methodology that you practice there. And I would say with a very high rate of success, you undersold it, you know, the way you define it and the way I think you probably get on the same page with your clients in defining success as well. It's not like you think they succeeded and they don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I sort of self-discovered that same process on my own. And, you know, I got hurt all the time when I was in my early 30s, not so much in my late 40s, because I figured out for myself a lot of what you also figured out, but you're only one guy and you're in Flagstaff, and yeah, you do some remote sessions, but it's like, you know, this book, it's a way to expand your sphere of influence, right? And just, you know, present an important message. We're mainly focused on athletes, but it really anyone who's active, I think. And then also we would hope it's a great reading experience, but the idea is like you read this book and you can apply what you learn and it makes a difference, you know, for you as an athlete or exerciser. So yeah, tell us a little bit more about this book.
So the amount of evidence behind what I'm saying is so overwhelming that if you work with athletes, musculoskeletal conditions, and the only thing you're bringing to the table is diagnostic test, you are the musculoskeletal equivalent of a flat earther. So you are so far down the line of understanding the complexity of what you're working with that it's going to be very challenging. So I'm hoping that like this book is just one more piece to bring a lot of change to caring for people, because we are years behind on changing our system. So we just happen to build a you know, multi-billion-dollar system around the notion that pain does equal damage. So it's going to take a little while to right the Titanic, but it's coming because there's just so much evidence behind it. Yeah. And so much evidence lacking for what we're doing currently, which is kind of surprising. But,
and I understand you have a book.
Yes. The book is called
For Fuck's Sake
Performance. Sell it. I am so good at so many things, but I'm not good at selling things. Pain and Performance is the book that we're hoping nudges the Titanic in a better direction, so away from the iceberg. So, yeah, right now we are sinking. So I've thought about my elevator pitch and I'm like, we're not on an elevator. We are on a sinking ship, and it is everything I can do but to climb on top of our house once a week and just yell, this is not how it works. So yeah, I am pretty obsessed with changing the way things are going right now.
So for some listeners that maybe push back and don't agree with that. I mean, you said it's evidence-based, so it's kind of hard to disagree with evidence, but we're a long way from that change. What do you say to those folks?
I get that. Yeah, I totally understand, because I've worked with people that I've worked with medical professionals, actually, people that, you know, have advanced degrees. All I do is read a lot. There's just a dissonance there that they can't let go of. I listened to a researcher that did research primarily on hip impingement. Like 10 years of her career was dedicated to this pathology, you know, like cam deformity and pincer deformity and all of these things and combinations. And then come to find out, like around 70% of the asymptomatic population have those deformities and abnormalities. And you're like, okay, well, how do we reconcile that? So by my definition of normal, that is normal. And if you don't have those, you're actually kind of toward the abnormal side. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I get it, because a lot of times you've just been fed this information our entire lives. And a lot of times those folks that are, you know, I don't know, if you've spent $100,000 on your education that told you that this is how it works, it's going to be hard to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get to a point, you know, obviously, like you said, maybe not in this lifetime, that these two methodologies, philosophies will kind of marry each other? Because I think, like I said, I feel like that's kind of the environment that I grew up in. You know, my dad's probably one of the smartest people that I know, but he still admits, like, we are a long way from knowing everything about the human body. And I'll come to him with, like, oh, you know, my hip was hurting while I was training for whatever. And he's like, you know, keep going. Yeah. And then 2 weeks later, it doesn't hurt anymore. You know, and he's like, I don't know what that was. So do you see, is that your hope that these two things can come together?
Yeah, 100%. And in my opinion, it doesn't need to be medicalized. So, I mean, a lot of times I'm trying to put myself out of business in that way. Like if you want to lean on me for coaching, that's different. But if there's dependence created through a pain process and working through that, a lot of times in a therapeutic setting, people become dependent and they feel like they have to be fixed all the time. So I don't want that. In fact, I usually try to set an end to, after me and whoever I'm working with, in about 3 weeks, I'm usually like, hey, so when are you and I going to high five? And you'd be like, I think I'm good. Yeah. Even if it's been years, they need a point where they say, where they can say, I'm good and I can do this. And, you know, I don't want to cut them off. I'm always like, you know, if you need to be supported and you need some guidance, obviously reach back out. The model we're using right now creates patience. The fancy term is iatrogenic. So,
okay. Yeah, so you're less of, even though there's that emotional side, you're not like a therapist, which those folks kind of always claim to be, like, you know, you'll need therapy forever, emotional therapy. You're like, right, nope, right. I'll be here to help you out. We're going to get you through this. And then you have the tools to continue on.
Yeah, I will say I have a couple athletes right now that have some conditions that require some, like, pain coaching, to be honest, because they have inflammatory conditions that might just make it so that they have more pain experiences. And so they do use me a little bit like that, but it's not like dependent. It's just like, I just give them advice. Even like last weekend, one of our athletes that has RA had a flare up right before a ultra. It happens to be right around Thanksgiving, and everybody's a little more stressed out, even if it's kind of in the background, you don't really, you know, recognize it consciously. She was fairly panicked because the race was coming up. She had a lot of things to do in her life as well. And I was like, you know, let's just kind of not be too reacting, and let's just kind of stay this course. If you like training tomorrow, train. If you don't, it's okay. Let's wait till race day and then see what goes on. And she was fourth. So yeah, she had a great race. I met her down there and she was like, I felt great. And I was like, well, look at that. That's the dangest thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, there are like special little things where I'm just giving some counsel. So, but those folks that, you know, I don't ever want to create dependence. I guess that's primarily what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of those treatment plans, that's like, it's built into the system.
Yeah. And really your methodology and this book are really empowering, you know, to athletes.
That's the idea.
That's the idea. It's like, let's cut out the middleman, you know, you know, pain is a normal part of being an athlete. Eliminating it is not even a goal.
Right.
If you're experiencing pain, and sometimes even pretty significant pain, you're not necessarily injured. It's the pain is not necessarily the result of moving wrong, and your movements are not necessarily the result of imbalances in your musculoskeletal system. And guess what? You don't necessarily need help to work your way through this particular limiter. Or if you do need help, it perhaps is best to come from a coach, you know, versus a clinician. And so if you sort of absorb that message and internalize it, and you know, you're like, oh, I guess I got this, you know what I mean? And it's not like it's paint by numbers. It's like, here's step one, here's step two, step three, you're fine. It's just a figuring out, sort of like the metaphor I use all the time is a dance. Pain is your dance partner. And it's, it's a, you know, a kind of dance where like sometimes you're leading, sometimes you're following, but you're in it together. And you have you sort of have a common goal. You can't dance without the partner. That's what I found, because like, you know, I know like 2% of what you know about this stuff, but for me, like I practice before long COVID took me out. Here's my long COVID reference, Hannah. She was waiting for it.
Thank you.
You know, like, you know, it was very empowering for me as an athlete just to learn and believe this message. It was difference making, even on a psychological level. Like I was less stressed out. You know, if I felt pain, I'm like, I'm probably not injured. You know, I can probably figure this out. And now, you know, I'm no longer training and racing myself, but as a coach, you know, I coach one of my neighbors, Betsy. Shout out to Betsy. Hope she's listening. you know, she's training for, she's cagey. She's keeping it, her goal close to the vest. So she's got a very, very ambitious endurance running goal she's chasing, training for, and she's early along in the process, and her knee started hurting a couple of weeks ago. And you would have been so proud of me, Ryan. Like, I'm like, yeah, good.
Makes me so happy already.
I'm like, good. It's like, I expected this. You're trying to do something ambitious. This was inevitable. Yep. Like, it's part of the process. You know, like, you can't possibly get to where you want to go without, like, earning your way to that point through processing pain experiences. They're absolutely necessary. And it's like, great. This is our chance to level up, because like, you know, if and when you come out the other side of this pain experience, you're out the other side of it. You know, it's like, you know, you've gone through something that you had to go through. So it's like that is actually progress. And it's like, you know, here's on the training side, we're just going to dial it back a little bit and just check in with me. You know, I think this is the kind of thing where it's just like two steps forward, one step back. And she comes over twice a week, 'cause she's my neighbor, to do strength training. We do it together. I'm like, we're going to, you know, tweak some of your exercises just to, you know, work with it, work through it. And again, you know, like this is not really even my expertise per se. I'm a running coach, but I felt completely competent to walk her through the process, you know. And again, it's biopsychosocial. So like, it wasn't just, we're going to, you know, reduce your running for a week, 1 week, and change some of our strength exercises. It was also like me explaining this to her. And like, you know, you can see the expression on the athlete's face when you're like, this is normal, this is good. Like we knew, like I expected this. And it takes hold. She feels like understood, cared for, and like all of that is also part of it as well. And just like, you know, this ramifies, like it starts with you, but now like I can do it, and I can guarantee Betsy can now do stuff for herself, you know, that she couldn't do before. She doesn't need you know, an advanced degree or to become an expert. It's just like, yeah, you got this.
Yeah. Man, that is great to hear. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Another example, I think, Matt, actually, is you and me. When I was training for the marathon and you were coaching me through that, remember I had horrible shin splints and we didn't stop. You just said, okay, we'll tweak it, you know, hop on the bike for all basic, a lot of runs, actually. Do your long runs if you can. And yeah, it was a little bit painful. Definitely in some points, there were some runs I had to stop. There were runs I didn't finish, but I showed up to the race and I didn't have pain. I didn't have shin splints that day. So I don't know if that was luck or we did the right thing, but there's a real life example of another one.
Yeah, that's right. And you did great in your marathon.
Yeah, thank you. I know you wrote this book, you said, for athletes, but example right there, just two of them from Matt, coach. What can coaches take away from this book? I know, obviously, that's empowering athletes, but if they're reading this, how can they influence their coaching with that methodology?
Well, I think it simplifies so much of the process. Like, so you're not going to go and look for a solution looking for a problem. So people assume like some sort of something is wrong and that's why this flared up. And so they're like, obviously I have some sort of dysfunction. So it takes away most of those dysfunction things that we kind of made up and it puts it back to just like, oh, we should maybe just change it for a little bit, change what we're doing, bring it back. A lot of times this ends up being the terms are symptom modification or directional preference. Those are the terms. So meaning if somebody was doing diagnostics on their shoulder, like, yeah, do this. And you're like, yeah, that does hurt. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to do this specific exercise for a little while. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to try that again. But really all you did was just not do that for a second. And then 2 weeks later you did it and you're like, oh, actually it does feel a little bit better. But it was way less specific than what anybody thought it was. It was just doing something different, coming back, and it felt better. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we can all do that. You know what I mean? You don't need an advanced degree for that. So you can just kind of find your way that way. So, and you know, sometimes like, it's not like biomechanical insights aren't useful at all. Like it is useful sometimes, but you can still just use your symptoms most oftentimes and just go, yeah, that kind of hurts. And you're like, okay, well, if it's really hot and bothered, just don't use it for a little bit. But usually try to get load to that area as soon as you can. And it's not the change in the tissue that's changing the symptoms. We actually don't really fully understand. Like when you were saying your dad said, I don't really know what happened. Yeah. He's right.
God doesn't know what happened. He's 100% right.
True story. Like if you try to get somebody that actually knows what they're talking about pain science, we'll start talking about theories of consciousness pretty quickly because that's where you're going to end up. It ends up in ethereal really quickly and philosophy really quickly. So basically like at the spine. Mm-hmm. So yeah, even before then probably. So we just don't really understand what pain, like it's such a complex process. And causation is a subset of epistemology, which is like the study of knowing things. And so it's causation is a slippery thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's part of my most recent thing with diagnosis. I'm like, you can't diagnose most pain at all. Like you can diagnose a medical condition. That's different. But a pain experience is this purely subjective thing. But yeah. That's the truth of it is we really don't know like what pain is even yet. And I mean, I mean like the people that actually know a lot about pain. So yeah. And neuroscience. Mm-hmm. So, but it's okay.
Yeah, you don't actually need to know.
Right. Yeah.
That's not going to solve it as we've learned. Matt, do you want to shoehorn in one more question before we wrap things up? Maybe make Ryan say the name of his book one more time. Just for practice.
Yeah, you know, the thing I'll just, it's more of a comment, but you can riff off of it, is that one of the decisions that you and I, Ryan, made it together early on when we decided to do this thing was to take a biographical approach. So you had a definite message you wanted to get across. There was a definite impact that you wanted to have on people who read this book. But then the question is, how? You know, because a book written by a coach is an extension of their coaching. So you're really coaching, you know, through the medium of a book. And coaching is not science. You know, in science, you're trying to be not wrong. In coaching, you're trying to create change.
Be less wrong.
Yeah. Well, no, you're just like, you're trying to like, you know, you're trying to create change, you know, in the life of the person you're coaching. And that requires, you know, there are a lot of ingredients to that. Like one of them is buy-in, you know, understanding, buy-in, you know, like a level of enthusiasm, that empowerment piece, all of that has to happen. And because, as you said, pain is complicated and it's neuroscience, it's like, well, all right, if we're trying to have an impact here, you know, for Joe and Jane Athlete, who haven't studied much neuroscience, is like, how do we do this? And like, we chose to do it through your story because like, you are a high school graduate, right? You know, you don't even have a BS.
I don't.
No, it's like, and which is good because, you know, people can kind of relate to your story. You grew up as the son of a horse jockey, often injured. You got really into karate and hurt your shoulder when you were a kid. You got really into football and hurt your what? Something. You got really into yeah. Thank you. You got hip.
Oh, I thought that was going to be inappropriate.
Yeah. Just, it was 3 inches off from that. Hip. You know, you got into climbing and hurt your shoulder. You got into personal training and were, you know, eventually indoctrinated into all the stuff you're trying to save us from. So like, you know, walking people through your journey and showing how you arrived at this point, now, you know, readers can see it through your eyes. And now it's less important how much or how little they know about neuroscience, because they're like, oh, I understand, you know, horse jockey falling off a horse. Like, I understand, you know, hurting your whatever in football. We didn't get a chance to get into it in this conversation, but I wanted to let people know the book kind of tells a story. And, you know, the science and the things you learn are woven into this. Like, I mean, you've had a really interesting life, dude. So I think people will enjoy just like, you know, kind of like learning about you and the journey you've had.
Maybe so. Yeah, I'd like to think. Sometimes I'll tell a new story and Betsy, my wife, will go, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "No, that really happened. That really happened in my life." Yeah, and I just thought it was normal until I started talking to other people. And they were like, nope, that doesn't happen to other people. So, yeah.
Have I told you about the time Bruce Lee broke my nose?
Yeah. But I don't think I ever did tell you. Actually, I have quite a few things I haven't told you. But Bozo the Clown lived with us for quite a while.
Oh, my gosh.
That's like my worst nightmare, I think. See?
Did not see that coming.
Your second book can be a compilation of all these weird stories. You know,
this is how much has happened in Ryan's life. So, you know, we spent like, 3 years writing this book? And then, you know, it's done. You know, it's pretty much like at the printer. And Ryan and I are having coffee together here in Flagstaff, and he tells me this absolutely priceless story about like, growing up with a dad who was like breaking his neck 3 times a year, falling off horses. He tells me the story. I'm like, why am I hearing this for the first time? Like, and I went straight to Renee.
Did you?
Yes. I'm like, is there still time? Is there still time to get the story in the book? Because it's just too good. But you know, what I wasn't thinking is like, well, it's only a matter of time before Ryan tells me that, oh, by the way, Bozo the Clown.
Bozo the Clown.
And now it is too late. The thing has been printed.
Yeah, well, we could do another one, I guess. Yep, true story.
Oh, yeah. Man. I don't even know if I actually have to do a super deep closing question because, like, what? That's
how that do you right close there. After that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My mind is yeah. blown.
So, okay. Yeah. Pain and Performance. That's the name of the book.
I was going to make you say it one more time, so thank you. You got me there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I actually truly don't think I've got one.
I'm not kidding. That. I'm not.
Yeah, not kidding.
I'm kind of done.
Yeah, kind of done with this.
I get it.
No, seriously, Ryan. Thanks for chatting. I'm glad we could finally get you on, get some service, get an episode recorded, and yeah, well, let's have you on again because honestly, for the short stories, like let's just do weird stories with the Ryan episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pain and Performance, Ryan and Matt written together. So check that out. We'll have that linked in the show notes. And thank you, Ryan, for your time today.
Yeah. Thanks, thank you Ryan. Guys so much. Absolutely.
Let's do it again.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
We hope you gained valuable insights into Ryan's transformative journey from athlete to coach. And as we wrap up, please remember that Pain and Performance, co-authored by Ryan Whited and Matt Fitzgerald, is now available. The book stands as a guide to empower athletes, promoting independence, and shattering the myth that pain is synonymous with lasting damage. Thank you for tuning in to the 80/20 Endurance Podcast. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. Takes 2 seconds just to rate us 5 stars. To get in touch with Ryan and for more information about the book, please take a peek at our show notes, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.